I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast. Which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the side, going down right here on the Freedom Train Network audio shop talk straight in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, representing, keeping it going, holding it, dying for the 99. Until dying nine. I don't know what that means, but it's prime nine. Already. Know how we do. Here to have fun, talk about sports. Just get into it. Sports news, the latest things that has happened in the world of sports. But giving it to you from our perspective, from a black person's perspective. And we're doing it shop talk style, like we in the barbershop. Are you kicking with your friends? We ain't holding back. It's raw, real, uncut, real sport talk. And you know, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the African History Book Series, the African History Blog Series, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, lectures, speaking engagements, keynotes, educational classes, sessions. Whatever you need, On the Shoulders of Giants got you. You can take the information, you can use it on your cell phones, tablets, your smart boards, and your classrooms. All you got to do is visit www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org. Go ahead and get your copy of On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 1, North America, and On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 2, Central America. While you gear up for On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3, South America, which is coming very soon. And I'm finishing up writing that now. So make sure you go ahead and visit www.ontheshoulders1.com or www.ontheshoulders.org. So what we getting into today, what we talking about today? So our HBCU Spotlight and our HBCU News is all surrounding FAMU. But it's for a reason, not because I'm a homer, but for a reason. But HBCU Spotlight is shined directly on Corey Bostic for being named the first ever drum major at FAMU. Our HBCU News is brought to you by HBCU Game Day, and a documentary has been made about the Gulf Coast offense, the Mad Bonner and the Rat Boys. And if you don't know nothing about that, I'm finna learn you, because in the late 90s, remember when FSU won the title in 99, and FSU had that mean-ass receiving core with like Peter Ward, Ron Dugans, Snoop Menace. Them boys over there, well, across the tracks. I'm teasing you. I'm going to get back to it. I'm going to tell you about them Rat Boys. All right. And of course, most of y'all know LeBron James opens up the I Promise School, so we're going to talk about that, giving miss props. A female athlete becomes the latest victim injured in Italy's racism crisis. I'm going to talk about that. Carmelo Anthony is finally traded to the Hawks and is finally... His contract is brought out by the Hawks, so we're going to talk about that. Of course, you know, not go too far into it. I didn't already say everything I need to say about Carmelo. We just waiting to see it. Apparently, Tristan Thompson punched Draymond Green at a party after the ESPYs, but then Draymond talking about it's a lie, so we're going to get into that. Dez Bryant going off on the Cowboys front office on Twitter. We're going to get a little more information about that. The NFL just implemented or tweaked or whatever the new hit rule. So we're going to dive into that and see how crazy it might be. Remember Johnny Manziel? Well, Johnny Manziel went to the CFL, and he's been traded to, I think, to Montreal. So we're going to talk about Johnny Manziel. Two ex-Ohio State wrestlers say that a coach asked them to backtrack on Jim Jordan accusations. We'll get into that. And our weekly rant is aimed at Urban Meyer. He's been placed on administrative leave for lying about knowledge of domestic violence. Remember we talked about that last time? Remember we talked about that? Yeah. Last week, last Friday, matter of fact, I think we talked about Urban Meyer. So we're gonna get more into that. And Urban Meyer is in our my Friday rant rather than my weekly rant, my Friday rant. But let's get into our HBCU spotlight. And it's aimed directly and shining brightly on Miss Corey Bostic. She is FAMU's first female drum major for the Marching 100s. Break it down now. Man, football is in the air. I know you smell it. Ooh, football is in the air. So Corey Bostic has stepped from the Piccolo section and moved to the front of Florida A&M University Marching 100. On Tuesday, FAMU director of bands Shelby Chipman took to social media to announce Bostic has been named the drum major, the first woman to hold that position in the nationally recognized band's 72-year history. Corey! Chipman also announced Wednesday that Joshua Hunroe and Markel Bowen will be joining Bostic as new drum majors. FAMU President Larry Robinson tweeted, "Congratulations, Corey Bostic. You're marching into Rattler history." Kevin Lawson, chairman of the FAMU Board of Trustees, also reported, "This is a historical day, and I'm proud to be associated with the university as we welcome our first female drum major. Go Rattlers!" Members of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority held this historic achievement of their sorority sister on Facebook. Bostic, a resident of Georgia, is a junior broadcast journalism student. Her ties to FAMU and the Marching 100 run deep. Her parents are both FAMU graduates and former members of the Marching 100, according to a Facebook post. Her father, Corey Bostic, is a band director in DeKalb County, Georgia. Her mother, Lenise Yvonne Bostic, is a school principal in the Atlanta area. Bostic was a member of the Southwest DeKalb High School Band, where she was also a drum major. Corey stepping into history. And you know, hey, man, when you become a drum major of the Marching 100s, that's more pressure than being a quarterback of the football team. That's more pressure than Tom Brady. I'm just saying, one time for Corey, man. Proud of you, Miss Bostic, for making that historic step. But I do have a question. How the hell is she the first woman to be a drum major in 75 years? How in the hell is she the first drum major in 75 years? You've been there 75 years, and this young lady is the first one. Now, I'm happy that she's drum major. This is nothing against her. I'm just asking in a general overall question from the university and the band thing and all these things. How is she the first female drum major? I just want to throw that out there. How and why is she the first female drum major in the history of the band? I'm sure she's not the first woman who was qualified to be a drum major. But nevertheless, shout out to you, Ms. Bostic. And I know some of y'all might be like, man, man, why he talk about the drum majors and stuff with the band and stuff? This is a sports show, the HBCU spot. Hey, man, in HBCU football, the band is a sport. That's sport. And that's part of football. And if you don't like it, you can kiss my ass and Miss Corey Bostic's ass. Because goddamn it, we showing her some love right here on the Fix Sports Podcast. So from me, Joseph Ward, to you, Miss Bostic, and the fan, you march around. You got to get up on your feet. Woo-wee! Dun, 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 dun. Breakdown. If you ain't never been to no HBCU football game, you need to go to an HBCU football game. They be so live. Going down. Hey, and Corey is going to be in a position, homecoming, when they do the tuba drop, to be one of them drum majors in the tuba, leading the tuba drop. Ooh, that's going to be so live. That 15-yard penalty be worth it, even though they start tripping on that stuff now. But one time for Miss Corey Bosty, one time, I am proud of you. I'm happy for your achievement. And I wish you the best. And I know you're going to be a live drum major out there leading it. And guess, yep, your boy will be in the stands going down. All right. So my HBCU news told y'all about that Gulf Coast offense. All right. So Peter Ward, Snoop Mannis, Ron Dugan, and somebody else. I can't remember right now. Chris Winkie, the quarterback. I don't really remember the running backs that good. But across them tracks was them rappers. Pat Bonner, Kanan Lamb, Jacque Nunley, some of the other names I can't really remember. It's been 20 years since the Rap Boys was putting it down. Now, I'm talking about the realest, probably the best receiving, collegiate receiving corps I've ever seen. Clear across the board, all four. You couldn't touch neither. You couldn't touch none of them. Now, like I say, across the tracks, they were. I like the Rap Boys better than the FSU receiving corps. I ain't gonna lie. I did like the Rap Boys, and of course, people probably say, "Well, they played against lesser competition." I put them Rap Boys against any receiving corps or any secondary. I put them Rap Boys against that 0-1 Miami secondary. And I just like to see what happens. I'm not saying, but, you know, just like to see what happens because these Rap Boys, they debuted the Gulf Coast offense. Now, I remember Willie Taggart over at FSU talking about FSU going to be running, they're going to debut the Gulf Coast offense. And first thing came to my mind, nah, dog, the Gulf Coast offense been in Tallahassee. You are bringing back your version of the Gulf Coast offense, but the Gulf Coast offense has been in Tallahassee, and it has thrived in Tallahassee. So a documentary is now made about the Rap Boys, Pat Bonner, and all these cats here. And it's called HBCU Game Day Presents the Original Gulf Coast Offense, the Mad Bonner and the Rap Boys. So the 1998 Florida A&M Rattlers took the MEAC in Division I AA by storm with an iconic team led by a legendary coach and a quarterback with something to prove and went on to rewrite the history books with the flair. It was arguably one of the high points of the Gulf Coast offense era at FAMU under head coach Billy Joe and one of the most innovative offensive minds in college football history. That offense was unstoppable. HBCU Game Day probably presents the original Gulf Coast offense, the Mad Bonner and the Rack Bull. A Wiley Pitt film produced by Stephen J. Gaither and narrated by Tyler Carr is the first of multi-part series on those legendary family teams, which combined near-flawless execution with an offensive flair closely associated with the state of Florida, but uniquely FAMU. Yeah, it was straight. It was Florida football. Believe that. It was Florida football. And if you don't know Florida football, Florida has a distinct style of football that we play, which is better than any other football in the world. So the 23-minute film would debut on August 8th. Oh, we're 6 days away. The filmmaking veteran of more than a decade, Pitt came to the project with fresh eyes and quickly became immersed in the high-scoring, swag-heavy Rattlers of that era. That's so live. So Gaither, Game Day's founder, echoed Pitt's thought on this project as well as future films on HBCU legends, both known and forgotten. Telling the backstory of black college football has been a passion of mine, even before Game Day, Gaither said. It is important that we promote the present and prepare for the future, we praise the past. And prepare for the future, we praise the past. As a black-owned media and tech company in 2018, it's also important that we not only tell our stories, but tell it so many of our other legendary players, coaches, and teams can get their roses while they're here and have their stories told the right way. While it has taken this thing beyond my furthest dreams, and I still know the best is yet to come. The original Gulf Coast offense, the Mad Bonner and the Rap Boys, will premiere, like I said, August 8th. On HBCUGameDay.com and Roku TV platforms. Ooh, I got a Roku. Ooh, I got a Roku. So, oh, yeah. So, I mean, look here, man. So it was the 1998 season with Pat Bonner at the helm was really just the tip of the Gold Coast iceberg. When you look at what they did in 99 with J1 Souter and then with Corinne Gray. Hey, man. Damn, you were killing it then. Damn, you was killing it. That was during the time where when you came to Tallahassee, I don't care if you went to Bragg or Doak, your ass wasn't winning. You wasn't winning. You went to Bragg or Doak, you was getting a mud hole stumped in you. That's when Florida football was Florida football, right? That's when Florida, Florida State, Miami, and FAMU was good. So, man, look at here, man. I got to see that. August 8th, I got to check that out. You know I'm going to check it out. You know I'm going to tell y'all about it. But HBCU game day, check it out. Check it out. August 8th. HBCUGameDay.com, going to be on Roku and all that. Going down in the side. Going down in the side. Nigga, shut your mind. Going down in the side. Nigga, shut your mind. Going down in the side. Nigga, shut your mind. Nigga, shut your mind. My transition new. I'm excited, as y'all can tell. All right, so LBJ. The most hated man in basketball. And I just got to say it at this point. You don't have to like LeBron James as a basketball fan. You don't have to like that. But if you just hate on that man, he's a bitch. At this point, if you just don't like LeBron James and you really don't know why you don't like LeBron James, whether you male or female, he's a bitch. Because there ain't no sense of hating on this man for no damn reason. The man ain't never did nothing wrong. You be like, well, I don't like the decision he made to go to Miami. Don't nobody give a fuck about what you like. Don't nobody like that your ass talking. Right? Don't nobody like that you trying to use your brain. Don't nobody like that you think your opinion really goddamn matters. So at this point, all you folk who hating on LeBron, y'all just bitches. That's it. But LeBron James opens a new public school in Akron. And he says this is one of the greatest moments of his life. And hats off to LeBron. I'm jealous. I'm going to go ahead and give you a hand claps now for opening up the school in Akron and doing what you're doing, giving back to the community, giving kids opportunities to do shit that they might not have had. Yeah. LBJ. That's why LeBron the king. That's why he the king. Michael Jordan ain't the king. That's why he the king. Yeah. Kane James. That's why he became. So LeBron's new school is much more than a school. It meets the basic definition, of course. But not only will James's I Promise School help some of Akron's most challenged students with educational support, it will provide educational, career, and emotional support for parents. We're going to be that groundbreaking school that will be a nationally recognized model for urban public school excellence. I Promise principal and Akron native Brandy Davis said, we're letting people know it's about true wraparound support, true family integration, and true compassion. The I Promise School, which is part of the Akron Public Schools, opens Monday for 243rd and 4th graders. The school will expand year by year, going to 2nd and 5th grades next year until it is grades 1 through 8 by 2022. Looking at reading data, we identify students who were two years behind in reading, said Keith Lechke, an Akron Public Schools liaison to James's Foundation. From that, we had more than 120 kids. We had to put a cap on it so we could fit under one roof. We did a random selection of all students who met the criteria and got to make these awesome phone calls to parents and say, I would like to be a part of something different, the I Promise School. The school is a partnership between Akron and LeBron James Family Foundation. And the idea originated a few years ago when James and his foundation leaders planned the next step for their effort to help students. The name of the school stems from the foundation's roadmap for students who promise to go to school, do their homework, listen to teachers, ask questions, and find answers, be respectful of others, and live a healthy life. Opening a new public school isn't easy without population growth or rapidly developing areas of a district, but James didn't let obstacles get in his way, even as Akron shut down other schools. One Sunday, James tweeted, the jitters before the first day of school are real right now. Tomorrow's going to be one of the greatest moments, if not the greatest moment of my life, when we open the I Promise School. The skinny kid from Akron who missed 83 days of school in the 4th grade had big dreams. As much as James is appreciated for his excellence on the court, his foundation will be his greatest lasting achievement. His life work is much more important than basketball. In a way, the I Promise School is modeled after James' childhood, only more organized and professional. As a kid, James, who attended Akron Public Schools for 8 years, and his mom, Gloria James, had help from the community, people who looked after them and made sure they got what they needed. Michelle Campbell, the executive director of the James Foundation, teared up Sunday when describing what the new school means. LeBron missed a lot of school in the fourth grade. It's well documented, Campbell said. We all know which path he took. He took the right path with some very good people around him, and now we know him as the world's best basketball player. He could have taken the other road, and we would have known, he could have taken the other road, and we would have never known LeBron James. He would have been a statistic like a lot of students who drop out of school. Every one of these kids, maybe they don't become LeBron James on the basketball court, but they become LeBron James of their passion and dream in life. We're coming to them at the time when people came to LeBron and Gloria and wrapped around them and believed in them before this great basketball player. One time for LeBron. Hey, man, look, I know a lot of people out there hating on LeBron. It's a lot of people who don't like the school. Matter of fact, it's a lot of people who are saying, man, the school ain't Afrocentric, so it don't count. The school ain't African-centered, so it don't count. Last I checked, LeBron James wasn't African-centered. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that I personally don't want the school to be African-centered. I, Joseph Ward, would love, but I do want the school personally to be African-centered. But it ain't my school. It ain't my money. It ain't my project. I'm happy that these kids have a chance to do something different. These kids got a chance to go to school. These kids got to learn. These kids got a chance at opportunities that they might not have had before. Now, these opportunities could lead these kids into finding or into environments that could get them some Afrocentric education. But a lot of times, I think in the conscious community, I think a lot of people, they're so selfish and they're so rigid-minded, stuck in their own silos and stuck in their own ways of thinking, is they get to the point where, man, it ain't like I want it to be my brother. It ain't like this. It ain't like that. It ain't helping the black community. I mean, look, this school is helping black kids in Akron. It is helping black kids in Akron. I mean, it's a public school, so it's open to all types of schools. And it ain't your school. So when you build your school, you build your school the way you want to build your school. But I'm happy the man did something. I'm happy he built the school for kids to do something different. It's going to be a lot of black kids who their futures have been altered because of the actions of this man. They got a chance. A lot of these kids got a chance who may not have had a chance. What would you rather them do? Not be at this school and maybe end up with not a bright future, being able to go to this school and have a bright future, whether this school is Afrocentric or not. If it was Joseph Ward School, yes, it would be Afrocentric, but it ain't Joseph Ward School. It's LeBron James' school. But I'm proud of this brother, man. LeBron James is a stand-up dude. And we got to remember, LeBron James ain't Afrocentric. Got to remember that. I know a lot of y'all don't like it, but nobody cares that you don't like it because, hell, some of our greatest heroes have not wasn't Afrocentric. It's all good. You don't have to be Afrocentric to be for your people. Let's just be real, though. You don't have to be. It would be lovely for everybody to be Afrocentric. I would love that. But you don't have to be Afrocentric to be for your people. You feel me? So I did want to drop that nugget for the people who don't like the nature of the school or the functioning of the school. It's a public school and he don't have full control of the curriculum. He don't have full control of the curriculum, but he got control of the curriculum. I guarantee you these kids are going to be learning something different. And then you and I learned in public school. Well, nevertheless, one time for King James earning his name on and off the court. Damn show light years ahead of Michael Jordan. Shout out to you, Bron. Shout out to you. Moving on, like Maya. So let's go across the water to talk about racism in Italy, right? So this says an African athlete becomes the latest victim injured as Italy's racism crisis looms. Italy has a racism crisis? Oh my word! Who would have ever known that Italy had a racism crisis? Oh my word! An ethnic Nigerian, I hate when they say that, the girl from Nigeria, she from Nigeria. The Nigerian Italian athlete wounded in the eye by an egg hurled from a passing car is the latest known victim in a rash of attacks in Italy linked to possible racism, linked to racism. Y'all know it's racism. Italy's anti-migrant interior minister, Matteo Salvini, dismissed as nonsense concerns Monday about a racism emergency in Italy. Yeah, because it don't affect his ass. This could throw a Daisy Ozuwuke, who was born in Italy to Nigerian parents and competes on Italy's national track and field team, think she was mistaken for one of the African prostitutes who work on the street she was crossing early Monday in Turin. Ozuwuke, 22, needs surgery to remove eggshell from her eye. At least six recent attacks are under investigation for possible racist motives. In one, a Roma baby was paralyzed when shot by an Italian on his balcony in Rome. Wow. And y'all try to say racism is America. Y'all be like, I'm gonna move out of America and get away from racism. Wait, where you going? Tell me where you going that you're gonna move out of America and get away from racism. Racism is a global entity. Racism, white supremacy, is older, like I keep telling y'all, it's older than America. It's definitely older than America. So when you move out of America, you may get a different form of white supremacy, but guess what? That shit still is at the core. White supremacy. So I am not happy about this. I want the white folk who did this, and y'all black people in Italy need to get their ass. Hey, man, we got to start taking an aggressive stand against racism, man. An aggressive, smart, tactical stand against racism. We can't just be like, oh, it happened. I am mad. I am going to pray about it. I forgive them. Nah, man, that just don't work. That's why we still getting fucked up in these streets across the world. Black people are getting fucked up out here across the world. So we need to find new tactics and things to deal with racism, because what we're doing ain't working. Stop trying to be friends with racists. Stop trying to sit down and understand them. I don't need to understand shit. I know where you come from. You want me gone, and I got to protect myself. What else we need to talk about? But, man, you know, it's unfortunate this happened to this young lady. And I hope they find whoever did that and fucked them up. Straight up. And remember, racism is global. Racism is global. Racism isn't something that's just in America, like it's just an American invention. Nah, racism is global than the mud, man. So understand that. Really understand that. Understand that. So, Carmelo Anthony, a little basketball. We're going to get to a little basketball. Carmelo Anthony is finally, he was finally traded to the Hawks, and then he's brought out by the Hawks, and now he's at the clear waiver. So Carmelo Anthony has finalized a contract buyout with the Atlanta Hawks and plans to wait until clearing waivers to officially tell the Houston Rockets of his plans to sign a free agent deal, these sources told ESPN. The Hawks waived Anthony on Monday morning, paving the way for him to clear waivers on Wednesday at 5 p.m. So he's already cleared waivers by now. Anthony will get his full $27.9 million salary for the 2018-2019 season, and accepting a $2.4 million reduction in his buyout with the Hawks that will essentially return to him once he gets once he signs $2.4 veteran minimum deal with his new team. So that ain't bad. That ain't bad. $27 million, man. So that ain't bad. Probably $29 million. $30 million rounded up. So that's what's up. Anthony waived his no-trade clause to allow Oklahoma City to move him to Atlanta in a three-way deal with Philadelphia. Anthony has been working out with the Rockets star Chris Paul and James Harden and met with general manager Daryl Morey and coach Mike D'Antoni in Las Vegas during summer league. League sources said the Thunder granted permission to do so once the sides decided that a parting was imminent. Anthony had also met with the Miami Heat and considered signing there. Glad he didn't. The 34-year-old Anthony is a 10-time All-Star four. He averaged 16.2 points per game for the Thunder a year ago, below his 24.1 points per game average. So, you know, So good luck to Melo moving forward. We're going to see. We have to see it. So once we see it, we'll get more into the details. But you know how I feel about it. Anthony and James Harden out there on the court at the same time, our defensive liability. And what role would Anthony be willing to play offensively? And how will he further hurt them defensively? So, you know, we're going to have to pay attention to that. We're going to pay attention. So the other day, I'm sitting in the house, and I hear some headlines and read some headlines about Tristan Thompson punching Draymond Green. I ain't gonna lie, when I first heard that, I was like, man, I don't believe that shit, man. These basketball boys. Basketball boys don't fight, man. Then they had me believing it for a little bit. Then Draymond came out talking about it didn't happen. So let's read details, see what happened, then we're gonna talk about that. There's no love lost between Tristan Thompson and Draymond Green following their spat at the end of game four of the NBA Finals. According to reports, the bad feels might have lingered on a little too long between the two. Now we're left with rumors of a post-Estes fight, a potential sucker punch, and even an alleged face mush. But how the heck did it get to this point? All right, so we got a little timeline, right? So the NBA Finals, in the Finals, Tristan Thompson and Green, they don't get along. They bickered during the 2016-2017 Finals and got into a scuffle at the end of the game, game one of 2017-2018. But it all culminated after game four, 2017-2018. Thompson tried to shake Green's hand after the game, and it was rejected by the Warriors All-Star. So Tristan Thompson, he was ejected in game one and all the stuff there. They had a little basketball fight and all that stuff there. Green, always being one to enjoy rubbing salt in the wound, went on to say during the Warriors victory parade, "We ain't cut from the same cloth," in response to being asked about his beef with Thompson. He says, "Now, keep in mind, Thompson and Green had almost come to blows following game one. After the game, Green seemingly begged Thompson to find him during summer. You can meet anybody anywhere," Green said. "So all the meet me outside, meet me at the bus, like it ain't understood and giving up no money for that. Like I ain't interested in giving up no money for that. But if you want to see me somewhere else, that's fine anytime." So here you have two guys who clearly don't like each other, with Green not only continuing to take shots whenever possible, but telling Thompson he's fine with them finding him over the summer so they can fight, so they can run them hands, right? So at the ESPYs, right? Now, this where they talking about all the stuff happening, right? So LeBron held a private party after the ESPYs for his friends, right, in Los Angeles. So after the party takes place at Delilah, it's a night spot. Allegedly, at some point in the party, Tristan Thompson did what Draymond Green asked and found him during the summer. The gossip site Bossip reported on Tuesday that Thompson punched Green in the face during the party, which led to LeBron and Kevin Durant breaking up the fight. I don't say Frankie, breaking up the baby. They're trying to say Tristan put them paws on Draymond, but Draymond like, "Hold up, man." So on Wednesday, Marcus Thompson II of the Atlantic sought out to clear the air on what really happened at Delilah on July 18th. And it got even more confusing when we're left with six different quotes about what exactly happened. They say it was a punch, sucker punch, a shove, a quick 1-2 punch. It was a face mush. Man, there was no fight. So what do we think happened? Don't nobody really know. So they basically, a lot of people saying now that Tristan mushed Draymond in the face. But either way, for me, man, shit, where I'm from, you put your hands on somebody's face, your head better be ready to fight. Whether you mush somebody's face or punch them, you put your hands on somebody's face, you better be ready to fight. A face mush to me is more disrespectful than a punch, because I don't respect you if I mush you in your face. Straight up, I don't respect your ass if I mush you in your face. I mush you in your face because I know you ain't going to run them hands, basically. I know you ain't going to run them hands. That's why I mush you in your face. If I punch you, then I think you might. I mean, you'll fight. Because me personally, I ain't going to steal off on nobody. I'm not steal off on people type of person. So, but if I'm punching you in your face, that's because we fighting. If I'm mushing you, that's because I think you a bitch, and I'm calling you a bitch, and I'm telling you that you a pussy hoe, And I know you ain't going to do nothing about it. That's why I'm mushing you in your face. So if Tristan did mush him in my face, and if I apply my definition, then Tristan basically telling Draymond that he's a hoe, he a pussy nigga, and he ain't going to do nothing about it. That's why I mushed you in your motherfucking face and run, do something about it. Do something different. Run them hands. But they basketball players, right? So we know ain't no real fighting anyway. They basketball players, right? Basketball people don't really fight. Every now and then, you get a basketball player who really fight. Like, you get your Matt Barnes every now and then who really run them hands off somebody, right? But at the same time, he's still a basketball player, so basketball fights, man. They ain't real fights. So that's why it went from being a punch to a mush to all this other stuff to, man, ain't nothing happened. Draymond say ain't nothing happened. Tristan never came out and said, yeah, he punched him a mush. So we're waiting to see. But I'm sure y'all heard about this too, but, you know, it is what it is, man. But they basketball players, I personally don't feel like they're going to really fight anyway. They're going, you know how you used to do when you were young? They're going to meet at the shoulders and do the little, do it, and walk around in circles as they shoulders up against each other. Man, get off me, fool. You don't want to fight me, fool. Old sissy. Well, that's what's going to happen, man. NBA, there, you can call it a fracas. Let's go back to calling it a fracas. Because it's NBA. So, yeah. Y'all smell that? Y'all smell that? Ooh, wait. The smell of football is in the air. The smell of football is in the air. Ooh, them black eyed peas. Oh, them black eyed peas. The smell of football is in the air. Ooh, it's August. It's August. It's almost time. So let's talk about a little football. Because I smell it. Ooh, it's in the air. Ooh, 7. Ooh, 11. 7-11. All right, so Dez Bryant on Twitter going off on the Cowboys. And Sean Lee saying, it's absurd to think I was the reason Dez Bryant was released. There's Bryant going at the Cowboys and the front office and all the players and all that stuff. Man, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And for the record, the Dak Prescott, Hambone Prescott, you still a fuckboy. For the record. And I'm going to be watching to see who stand and who don't. Who be their toe on the line and who don't. Because I'm waiting on that weekly rank when I can get all on them Cowboys' ass. Soft pussies. So, Fridge and wide receiver Dez Bryant went off on several members of his former team, the Dallas Cowboys, during a series of tweets on last Friday night. He probably was sitting around having some ice cream or some liquor and was feeling bad. Man, fuck the Cowboys, nigga, man. Fuck them, nigga, man. Jeez, man. Fuck that shit, man. I put these hands on all these boys. Damn, they can't beat me. I'm Dez Bryant. They can't beat me. She can't whoop me, man. I'm a Dez Bryant, fool. They gonna cut me. I whoop all their head. They gonna cut me, man. That money can't beat me. Shit, my nigga don't talk about. So, released in April after an 8-year Cowboys run in which he became the franchise leader in touchdown receptions, Bryant responded to a since-deleted tweet from SiriusXM NFL Radio, which summarized part of an interview Dallas executive Vice President Stephen Jones gave Friday by writing, Stephen Jones on Dak Prescott improving. Dak is working on his game and accuracy. He has to trust the system. I think that was tough last year with Dez Bryant in his ear. I think he'll have the year he had last year, if not better. Jones's actual quote in the interview, however, also noted how former Cowboys tight end Jason Witten was in Prescott's ear too. He's got to trust the system, which at times I think last year there was pressure with Dez in his ear, and to some degree, Jason in his ear, Jones said. Those great players want the ball. Duh, you got to get them the ball. Bryant responded to the initial SiriusX and NFL Radio tweet by writing, here we go with the scapegoat shit, while adding that the Cowboys' issues was garbage-ass play calling. I agree with that, too. I do agree. I ain't going to lie now. I agree with Dez on that. I gotta go with Dez. Hey, the Cowboys had some garbage ass place. I ain't gonna front. Trust me. These are tweets from Dez that I'm finna read one from Dez. So trust me, I never wanted to be like this, but they act like Drake said. They tried to put a dent in my armor. You can only go so far. Chris Wilner says, hate to see players get called out, but my Friday was made by Dez Bryant. A shame this even has to happen, but you've got to stick up for yourself. Hashtag respect. The receiver called Cowboys owner Jerry Jones clueless and put blame for his reasoning on Dallas center Travis Frederick and linebacker Sean Lee, who he called a snake.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's supposed to bend my brother. We laugh and talk about goals and stuff. He sat right across from me in the locker room. Never thought we had a problem. I got cut. He was the first to know. I find out he was also behind it. Damn. And so blogging the boys said, calling Sean Lee a snake, wow, on Twitter. So the Cowboys practiced Friday and were asked about Bryant's tweets. Afterwards, Stephen Jones said his comments on CXN radio were not intended to be negative. Yes, they was. You got great players like Dez Bryant and Witten. They want the ball. Everybody sees it, Jones said when he asked to clarify what he said during the interview. It's on every team. The great players, the great receivers, the guys who catch the ball. They want the ball. They let the quarterback know that sometimes. All right, man. So Lee, meanwhile, called any assertion that he could get a player cut not true. First thing to say that I can get anybody off the team and have any influence on the roster is absurd, Lee said. Second thing, I love Dez and I want the best for him. You know, to be honest, we did butt heads because I wanted Dez to be more accountable to his team and to his teammates. And to be honest, a lot of the team felt that way. I think he needs to take a look at himself and hold himself accountable. Likewise, Frederick said, Frederick said he had nothing to do with Bryant's release, said the receiver was always a good teammate to me. I think you're going to have to search long and hard before you find a fifth-year player that makes personal decisions, the Pro Bowl offensive line said. Pro Bowl offensive lineman said, Bryant questioned the offense and his role last season. His number slipped after signing a 5-year, $70 million deal in 2015, in part because of injuries and the shift in offensive philosophy with Prescott at quarterback. Right, the Cowboys opted to part ways with Bryant without even offering him a pay cut. The Baltimore Ravens offered him a deal, but they ain't get it now, yada, 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 yada. So they're going back and forth with Dez Bryant saying the Cowboys, Sean Lee and Frederick got him cut, calling Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones snakes. Now, not too long ago, Dez Bryant was kissing Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones' ass. But now he really see what it is. Remember what I told you about having that mercenary mindset? This is why you have that. So you won't be all up in your feelings and be like Dez all over the internet looking crazy, looking like an emotional wreck. And you know these white folk on their platforms are calling him, saying he's too sensitive, he's too emotional, and all these things. If he was white, he could be sensitive. He could be emotional if he was white. He wouldn't be sensitive if he was white. He'd be emotional. But what, he's too sensitive, he's too emotional and all these things. And I'm going to call you out, but I'm going to stick up for you when you're right. And Dez, man, don't let these white folk get you like that, man. Don't let these white folk get you like that. Stay off of Twitter, Dez. Stay off of Twitter. Stay away from all these things. So of course, you got to stick up for yourself, but get on the team and then do your thing, man, because you got to worry about getting on the team because preseason is here, and you ain't on no team. We got to get you on the team, Dez. You being on the Giants, that's man. You try that though. She'll try that. So, yeah, that's Dez Bryant and the Dallas Cowboys. That's what's going on with them. That's kind of funny too. Dez is really finding out that, hey man, they don't like you no more because they don't need you. Basically, they don't like you no more because they don't need you. Yeah. All right. So. More NFL news is the NFL expands helmet rule, and they are supposedly working on the targeting rule. So let's get more details in this before we break it down. The NFL approved the broadening of the helmet hit rule that will penalize players who lead with the crown of the helmet to initiate contact against the opponent on any play. NFL Competition Committee Chairman Rich McKay announced on Tuesday. So that means they're going to be calling on linemen a lot more than huh? Offending players would be penalized 15 yards and may be disqualified depending on the severity of the hit. McKay said the competition committee and the league felt it was time to make the change in order to be to in order to better enhance player safety. So does this mean when the offensive player ducks his head down, when he's in mid movement about to get hit and he ducks his head and his head go in the pathway of the defender's head, would the offensive player be called? Is that what that means? I'm asking. Clubs will continue to work on the targeting rule similar to the college football rule in which players will be automatically ejected for hitting with the helmet. By the way, I hate that rule. College football needs to do away with that rule. I hate that rule because just like that, offensive players can get defensive players kicked out just by simply changing the way they curl up. Nothing regarding the targeting rule has been finalized by the NFL. For us, this is a pretty significant change, McKay said during a news conference at the annual league meeting in Orlando. This one technique, we saw so many hits when the player lowered his head and delivered a hit and either hurt himself or the player he was hitting, McKay said. It was time for a change of this magnitude. This has very little requirement to it. McKay continued, this is simply, if you lower your head to initiate contact, you make contact with the opponent, it's a foul. All right, so I'm going to read it again. It's very little requirement to it. This is simple. If you lower your head to initiate contact, you make contact. So once again, the offensive player wouldn't be considered a player making contact even if he ducked his head in the way. Because the offensive player can still duck his head, because that's one of my biggest issues with the targeting rule is, yes, defensive player can change the positioning of his head and doesn't have to lead with the crown of his head. We know you're not supposed to lead with the crown of your head. We already know that head up football. We already know keep your head up, lead with your shoulders, lead with your pads, right? Stay behind your pads. But if the offensive player ducks his head and I'm going in with my shoulder, and because of the angle of where my head is and he ducked his head, if my head's hit, is that considered him initiating contact? That's my question. So it says, playing rule article 8. It is a foul if a player lowers his head to initiate and make contact with his helmet against an opponent. The player may be disqualified, applies to any player anywhere on the field. The player may be disqualified. Okay. So the NFL plans to bring coaches, players, and team officials to New York at some point in the next couple of months to work out enforcement specifics regarding the rule. NFL Network's Tom Plesario reported. They're hoping to have the disciplinary aspects of the rule finalized by the spring league meeting in May. For now, the teams are in agreement that there should be a replay component to the ejection process, Plesario said. Man, keep that shit in college. Keep that shit in college. We don't need that in the NFL. Keep that shit in college, man. We don't need that targeting and stuff and kicking players out and all that stuff. That, man, come on, man. We already got 15-yard penalties and all that stuff. That, man, keep that shit out. It's less and less helmet to helmet contact now as well. So keep that shit out, man. But just bring y'all up to date on what's going on with the NFL as far as the targeting rule. So further football news, let's head further north. Johnny Manziel was on one Canadian team. He wasn't getting playing time, and he got traded to Montreal. So he either made his debut or he's going to make his debut against his old team. So it's been more than 2 years since Johnny Manziel played against any serious football competition, but it's going to change on Friday. Okay, today, and Johnny Manziel takes the field for his first start in his CFL career in the CFL's Canadian Football League. Manziel, who was officially named the starter for the Montreal Alouettes on Tuesday, is excited about his new job for one big reason. He's getting more reps. It's good to be back in here, Manziel said via ESPN.com. I felt like the thing I've been missing, even over the course of this year and a couple of years, is reps. And as you guys have seen the last couple of days, the chance to get the first 10 to get some reps is what I feel like I really need, what I've talked to a lot of people about. Former Browns quarterback who last started an NFL game in December 2015 said he's excited for the chance to start in Montreal on this game Friday against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And he was backing up your boy for the quarterback that played at Missouri. His name just escaped me. Masoli. Yeah, Jeremy Masoli. So Jeremy Masoli, remember he played at Missouri, right? And Jeremy Masoli was playing good, so that's why Manziel didn't get any playing time for the Tiger Cats, and he was traded to Montreal Alouettes to go play with Chris Carter's son, Deron Carter. So I feel very blessed to be in this position, to be back in the situation where I'm starting again, Manziel said. It's good, it's a quick turnaround, but at the same time, I'm excited for the opportunity. Although Manziel is excited to play, he admitted that he's not 100% familiar with the Alouettes' offensive style.
But by the time Friday game kicks off, 25-year-old will have been with the team for only 12 days. I think there's some good things, there's some good flashes, Manziel said. Football's a game of inches and little things and little mishaps that can make a play go fucked up. He didn't say that, but I say that because I can't say the other word he said. But remember, the rules are different, too, so you got to adjust the Canadian rules and style of play and the motion and all that stuff there. Manziel was sent to Montreal as a part of a midseason trade between the Alouettes and the Tiger Cats. We're just trying to clean up little detail things that I think we're missing here that we'll get on top of, hopefully be able to go out and perform, as Manziel said, but I'm still learning as we go. And I feel I feel fortunate enough to be going against a defense that I've seen more than any other defenses he's been in the CFL. So, yeah, man. One time for Johnny Manziel for, I guess one time for Johnny Manziel. We're going to see what happens. So, in the CFL. And, of course, you know he's trying to make his way back to the NFL, but he's 25 now. So we're going to see how that works out because he got the ball out for a couple of years. So that happens. So, Johnny Manziel, man, you know, white boys get them second chances. So, my pre-Friday rant. So, two ex-Ohio State wrestlers say coach asked them to backtrack on Jim Jordan accusations. And this time went by fast. I guess because I'm excited as shit, though. NBC News reported tonight that former Ohio State wrestling coach Russ Hickelson sent text messages to two former wrestlers who both have said they believe Representative Jim Jordan knew about the sexual abuse done to them by their team doctor, asking the men to take back their stories and start defending Jordan. More than 100 students have reported to Ohio State that Richard Strauss engaged in sexual misconduct with them while he was a university doctor. Strauss died in 2005 and he a fuckboy, but the reports from the former wrestlers have gotten the most national press coverage because Jordan, possibly the future speaker of the House of Representatives, was an assistant coach at the time and most likely an ally in sexual assault. But that would go good with Donald J. Fuckboy Trump, right? Right. Two wrestlers shared their text messages with NBC News. And one, Heckelson, wrote to Dunyasha Yet that Yet still can take back what he said if he wants. If you think the story got wrong about Jim, you could probably write a statement for release that tells your story and corrects what you feel bad about. I could put you in contact with someone who will release it, text message said. It might make you feel better. Yetz told NBC News that Heckelson also called him on July 4th, saying he was feeling pressure from Jordan to defend him. He said, I defend Jimmy until I have put my hand on the Bible and be asked to tell the truth. Then Jimmy will be on his own. Yetz said in an interview this week, recalling his conversation with Heckelson, I told him, I'm going to contradict you, coach, because I'm telling the truth. Yetz is the only wrestler to say that he directly confronted Jordan and Heckelson about Strauss. And other former wrestlers said he saw Yetz do that. The second wrestler, Mike DiSabato, said he also got a text message defending Jordan from Strauss. But out of loyalty to his old coach, he asked that NBC News not quote directly from him. Mm. This is, like I told y'all last time I talked about this, that Joe Paterno Sandusky stuff. This that Joe Paterno Sandusky stuff, man. Ohio State got some crazy stuff going on. So you got this going on, then you got the stuff going on with Urban Meyer, and I can get to that in a second. But, hey, man, Jim Jordan, man. Jim Jordan keeps saying, I had no recollection of it. I had no knowledge of it. No knowledge of it. No, I didn't know it. I'm white, so you got to believe me. I'm a white man. White man, so you got to believe me. So the fuckboy died in 2005. What's his name? Dr. Strauss. Strauss died in 2005. Fuck him. And I hope he's getting spiritually fucked up. And Jim Jordan knew about it. And Jim Jordan trying to act like he didn't know about it, just like Joe Paterno didn't know about Sandusky.
Right. Them motherfuckers lie.
Right. So, and Jim Jordan supposed to be the future Speaker of the House. Of course, man, you know, that's Trump homeboy. Trump a sexual predator himself. So, of course, he will house an enabler of sexual predation. Right? Of course, Trump will house that type of sick fuck in his administration because Trump is a sexual predator himself. Agent Orange, Young Cheeto, Young Shortstaff is a sexual predator himself. So Jim Jordan, oh, coochie Jim Jordan. I knew nothing. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So why they sending text messages to people talking about backtrack? Why they asking people to backtrack if you ain't know nothing? Because your ass is lying. You're lying, Timothy. Use a lie. Jim Jordan, use a lie. Jim Jordan, use a lie. So, hey, man. All I got to say is it's going down on the campus of Ohio State University. Because not only is the sexual assault scandal going on, but Urban Meyer has been placed on a paid administrative leave. Of course, you know, he a white male, so he got to get that paid administrative leave. But he placed on paid administrative leave for basically being caught lying about knowledge of 2015 domestic violence allegations and other allegations of domestic violence from an assistant coach. And the assistant coach was the grandson of the coach who gave Urban Meyer a chance to be a coach. So it's those sentiments in there, right? So weekly rant, man. Urban Meyer, you lie. Urban liar. Urban liar. Urban liar. Urban liar. Let me give you some details. Ohio State has placed head football coach Urban Meyer on administrative paid leave in the wake of reports that he lied about having knowledge of the 2015 domestic violence allegations surrounding an OSU assistant coach. OSU issued a statement saying the university is conducting an investigation into these allegations. During the inquiry, Urban Meyer will be on paid administrative leave, right? Ryan Day will serve as acting head coach during the investigation. We're focused on supporting our players and on getting through this expeditiously as possible. Meyer, one of the highest paid coaches in college football, also issued a statement saying athletic director Gene Smith and I agree that being on leave during this inquiry will facilitate its completion because your ass is lying. This also allows the team to conduct training camp with the minimal distraction. I eagerly look forward to the resolution of this matter. Yeah, right. The man at the center of domestic violence allegations is old pussy ass Zach Smith, who was a wide receivers coach for the Buckeyes for years. And remember I told you Urban Meyer fired Buddy, right? Smith was fired on July 23rd as he was charged with criminal trespassing after dropping their children off at his ex-wife Courtney's home during a May 12th incident. The court granted a domestic violence protective order against him. Smith's ex-wife, the alleged victim, claims she told Urban's wife about the alleged abuse, but Urban took no action then and lied about having knowledge of the situation when she asked Big Ten Media Day. Courtney has alleged Zach has reportedly abused her physically since 2009. She also produced text messages to college football reporter Brian McMurphy, which show a conversation between Courtney, the wife of former OSU coach, and in which Courtney was asked, assured Urban was addressing the issue with Zach. All the coaches' wives knew, told McMurphy. They all did, every single one. I do believe he knew, and instead he chose to help the abuser and enable the abuser and believe whatever story Zach was telling everybody Smith did. Courtney also laid out the allegations in an interview with the media outlet Stadium, and this is a video about that. So, Urban, you lied, and we keep remember these are the type of motherfucker that people put their children in the hands of and say, hey, take care of my son and make him a man. And y'all wonder why so many fuckboys out here these days. It's so many fuckboys out here because the issue of being a fuckboy has never been addressed in the first place. So men from the era of Urban Meyer was fuckboys too, and granddaddies and great-granddaddies and great-great-granddaddies fuckboyness has been out here for a minute, but it's never been checked or addressed. So that's one thing I do like about this day and age now, and a lot of women now, they are checking the fuckboyness, but in order for domestic violence to be at such a alarming rate as it is now, it has to be embraced or basically has to be embraced by our culture, by our people. And the people have to make excuses and enable this type of behavior to exist
And that's what happened. So, classic example, Urban Meyer knew Buddy was domestically violent to his wife. Urban Meyer knew about it. Urban Meyer's wife knew about it. Come on, you mean tell me Urban Meyer and his wife didn't pillow talk about that? They talked about everything, but not that. Come on, man. So Urban Meyer's wife knew that Buddy was beating his wife and ain't tell nobody. All right. She ain't say nothing to Urban. They weren't laying down. They weren't laying down having conversations about, hey, man, you know, football over there beating their wife. Urban like, nah, football beating their wife. Yeah, football beating their wife. And so Urban didn't know. Bullshit. Bullshit. Zach Smith, bitch. Urban Meyer, bitch. Urban Meyer, bullshit followed Urban Meyer. They said during Urban Meyer's time at Florida, over 31 players were arrested. Urban Meyer had a toxic environment. Remember, this is the same environment that produced Aaron Hernandez, who turned out to be a murderer. Turned out to be a man who had severe CTE, but was also a murderer. Wow, Urban. That's how you get down, Urban. Urban Meyer, that's how you get down. That's how it happened under your watch, right, Urban? Because you a despicable piece of shit. That's why. You're a despicable piece of shit, Urban Meyer, for being a part of this, understanding everything that's going on, and as a man and as somebody who's supposed to be setting an example for other men, you turned a blind eye to domestic violence. You had a chance to actually help homeboy. So not only are you a despicable person, you a horrible friend. You're a horrible friend and you're a horrible person, because if you love that man granddad so much, you should have got that man some help. You should have fired that man from the team then and been a friend and got that man some goddamn help. But you didn't. You enabled the domestic violence to continue, which means you ain't shit yourself. Urban Meyer, you a fuckboy. You ain't shit yourself, man. You a despicable person. You're a horrible friend and a horrible person. And I mean, you can coach football, but you ain't shit. I mean, that's what it is. You can coach football, but you ain't shit. And that's really what it boiled down to. Like, they need to fire you. You know, usually I don't call for people's positions, but they need to fire you because, I mean, just to be fair, you know, they fired Jim Tressel for less. They fired Jim Tressel for the scandal with the players selling merchandise and stuff like that with Terrell Pryor and all this cat stuff. Jim Tressel got fired for that. And that wasn't even real stuff. He got fired for that. And Jim Tressel also had a national championship, but he was fired for that, which compared to this is nothing. It's bull. What Jim Tressel got fired for was straight trash compared to this. This is some real life stuff. This is some real oppression. That's real oppression. That's real abuse. That's real abuse. Like, he controlled the environment. He literally controlled that environment. It was systematic. That shit was mad. Like, everybody, like, they knew. They knew he was whooping that lady ass, and ain't nobody helped him. Urban Meyer, you a despicable person. Everybody who was involved and knew about it and didn't do anything to help that lady get out of that, y'all some horrible people. Horrible. Hey, parents, remember, these are the programs that you're sending your kids into. You better check people out all the way, man. You better check people out all the way. These are the men who are in charge of your sons. These are the men who are in charge of your sons and daughters. When you and women too, when they, because some women involved in this too. Urban Meyer's wife and all these people. Because nobody really tried to help the lady, right? So these are the people that you send your children to at the age of 18 to mature into adulthood. And in order to have competent, healthy citizens who know about healthy relationships and want to foster healthy relationships and create healthy environments, they can't be raised up on the fuck people. Can't be raised up on the people like Urban Meyer, who's a straight classic fuck boy. You know what I'm saying? That can't happen. Because when that is happening, oh, we got an issue. Oh, man, we got an issue. We got a real big issue because the cycle of domestic and sexual violence will not end. Think about what I'm talking about now with Ohio State, and think about the previous story. At Ohio State, on the wrestling team and on the football team, motherfuckers covering up sexual and domestic violence. Wow.
On one end, men being sexually violated, and on the other end, a woman being domestically assaulted. Wow. It's going down at Ohio State. That's all I'm saying. It's going down at Ohio State, and a lot of these places are very, very, very unhealthy environments. What's going on in the Big Ten? What's up with the Big Ten Conference and sexual assault? What's up with sports, the landscape of sports, football, and the sexual assault and domestic violence? I'm tired of doing these goddamn stories, but they keep popping up. And we got to keep addressing these things, checking these things to hold people accountable. But I will say this. Don't be the man out there trying to hold other men accountable if, A, you don't hold yourself accountable, and, B, you don't work, you don't try to get into the community and help men become better people. I got a big problem with a lot of you men out here trying to call yourself big, you know, the men who hold each other accountable, the men who are the good men in the community, and yet all you do is talk. All you do is talk. You have no record of you being in the community actually showing young men how to become better men. So if that's all you're doing, you keep your talk. Nobody cares about what you're saying, because what you're saying will not change anything. Get your ass into the community. Get off your platform sometimes. Get your ass into the community. Either start a program or become a part of a program to show these young men how to become better young men, to teach these young men the difference between what is consensual sexual situations and unconsensual sexual situations. Teach these young men how to control their anger so they won't end up in domestic violence situations. If you ain't doing that, you full of it. For Urban Mind, Zach Smith, and everybody else involved, y'all some nasty people. Y'all some nasty crackers, man. Nasty people. Ooh, and they do that to them. They do that to each other. Imagine what they do to us. If think about it, if they do that to each other, that gives you a more of a mindset of why white folk treat us the way they treat us. Look at how they treat each other. Why wouldn't they treat us like dirt? If they treat each other like shit, why wouldn't they treat us like dirt? Think about it. Think about it, black folk. Let's think about it. Urban Mind, hey, man, you deserve to be, they need to let your pussy ass go, man. Ohio State need to terminate you ASAP. And the fact that they're still thinking about it is crazy, because now we got evidence to show that your ass lied. Yeah, you've really earned that name, Urban Liar. And Florida fans gonna let your ass have it. I know they happy, but Florida fans don't like you the Florida State fans don't like you. The Florida State fans really don't like you. They want to start calling you Urban Liar, but Urban Liar will follow you. Hey man, you need to get the hell up out of college football coaching, because right now, Urban Mind, you ain't in the position. You're not mature enough to be raising nobody else. You're not mature enough to be considered a positive male role model in any child's, in any person's life, in any young man's life. You're not mature enough for that. Because you ain't even willing to help somebody who you know is being abused on a regular basis. You know this lady's being abused on a regular basis, and you don't even want to help. Because I owe his granddad a solid. Man, catch a solid dick in your mouth, Urban Mind. Fuck out of here, man. That's my weekly rant, man. I'm Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. Make sure y'all catch me every Monday and every Friday right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Hey, man, it go down. Yeah, man. These cats be wild, though. These cats be wild. But I don't even know how I want to end this, man. I don't even know. It's crazy, the shit that... It's crazy, man. That Ohio State shit is crazy, man. But like I said, I'm Joseph Ward, host of the Fix Sports Podcast, Freedom Train Network, and I'll be back at you on Monday.
I am the greatest.
I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it.
riffing harder. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best